and welcome to Just a Minute, this exciting, intriguing and often challenging game in which I ask my four guests to speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviating from the subject. Let us now meet the four exciting guests who are going to play this show today. Well, we welcome the award-winning comedian Linda Smith. Beside Linda is Mr. Showstopper himself, Gary Wilmot, and on my left, star of stage and screen, Ida Blair, and beside her, the multi-talented Giles Brandreth. Please welcome all four of them. And they will score points or lose points according to how well and successfully they may challenge. And let us begin the show with Linda Smith. Linda, here's a good subject. If I ruled the world, talk on that subject in this game starting now.
If I ruled the world, every day would be the first one of spring is approximately the lyrics that Sir Harry Secombe sung in that song. But if I ruled the world, it would be rather a different story to those charming sentiments. If I ruled the world, for example, such phrases as "the caller knows you have called and is keeping you waiting" would be and carry a mandatory death sentence.
Yes, it does.
I'm so in agreement with her.
It was a solidarity buzz.
Combined, there was a suggestion of a bit of hesitation.
There was a bit of hesitation, so that is a correct challenge, and Giles Brand does not get a point for a correct challenge. He takes over the subject. And by the way, for those who are maybe new to the game, there are a few occasionally, they can repeat every word on the card or the whole phrase if they wish. Giles, there are 35 seconds still available. Will you take on the subject, "If I Rule the World," starting now?
If I ruled the world, every day would be the 14th of March, which happens to be my wife's birthday, that of Albert Einstein and Michael Caine. Not a lot of people know that. It would become a national holiday, and people would bow down and worship a graven image of my darling espoused lady, the woman in my life, who gives me lust, who gives me a reason for living. I believe if I ruled the world should actually go and pour itself out at her feet, because there is nobody greater in humanity than this gorgeous person, once a virgin, still in the eyes of all, somebody who could be celebrated like a holy lady.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point on this occasion with Giles Brandreth, so he's taken a lead at the end of that round. And if Michelle Brandreth is listening, I do hope you're not blushing too deeply.
I have to explain, Nicholas, at the Relate meetings they said try something like that.
Right. Gary Wilmot,
yes.
Let's hear from you. Oh, and what a good subject for you. Records, a man who's gone for many and has got record-breaking songs that you reprise for us. But talk on the subject, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Some of my favourite records are the ones that are... Indeed, who can go for a whole minute without speaking would be a great record.
Oh, Gary, we love it. He had such good value. He went for 3 seconds only.
That's a record.
But 57 seconds are still available for you, Ida, on a correct challenge, having got a point for that, and it is records starting now.
I've got a collection of records that I can't bring myself to throw out, even though I never use them anymore. Two very special records I've got were given to me by the Beatles. I did a film with those people, but unhappily, I was cut out of it because I had a love scene with Paul McCartney, and the producers of that particular picture decided that having a kiss was a...
I'm sorry, I was fascinated by the story, and
I
hope you'll tell us more later.
I wanted to hear about your Paul McCartney. Yeah, that was all agog. Linda, what have you done? My education has been neglected.
Well, I might make a mistake, yes, and it might go back to us.
Of course. But Linda, correct challenge, and that's what the game's all about, and you get a point for that, and you've got the subject, and there are 36 seconds. Records starting now.
I used to work at the Royal Artillery Records and Manning Office, and it was the most extraordinarily tedious job I've ever had, largely because there was literally no work to be done. It was completely meaningless. So we used to pretend to have something to do, and one of my colleagues thought it would be terribly amusing to put the name of his immediate superior printed on every single sheet of toilet roll in the executive toilet, and he did that, and that filled up a good hour.
Oh, dear, I wanted to hear the rest of that story. too. But you came in there, Giles.
A couple of toilets.
There was too many toilets.
You can't have too many facilities.
Giles, you have 10 seconds available to tell us something about records starting now.
Incredible as it may seem, but I have held the record for the longest ever after... I'm sorry.
Yes, Isla, you're challenged.
I thought there was a hesitation.
Yes, he stumbled, which I interpret as hesitation, yes. And you wouldn't have thought that he once held the longest after-dinner speech record. In fact, at one time we held it jointly, didn't we?
Yes, we are a couple of record holders ourselves. Right, we've got a couple of something else ourselves as well.
Jointly in the Guinness Book of Records, we spoke for 11 hours to raise money for charity. You're right. Isla, a correct challenge. You'll get a point for that. You've got 6 seconds on records starting now.
The little bit that I did in this picture landed up on the cutting room floor. But before I left them...
Very good. Whoever is speaking with the whistle goes, gain that extra point. It was on this occasion Isla Blair, who's now equal with Giles Brandreth and lead. And Isla, this is the subject. Muck spreading. Why should the lovely Isla Blair be given muck spreading, I ask myself. But still, it's a good subject to talk about, starting now.
One Saturday morning, as I was preparing to go to work, there was a knock at the door. When I opened it, a large, tattooed man stood there and said, "Lady, I've come to do some muck spreading if you'd like me to. Horse manure, beautiful stuff."
Giles, you challenged her.
Oh, it's like Jack and Norley, the way she tells it. It's wonderful. I really do want to hear the rest of it, but I felt there was a bit of a hesitation.
You
that was all.
There was a bit of a hesitation. She had you for a bit of a hesitation before, so I've redressed the balance, Giles. You have the benefit of the doubt. You have 47 seconds. Muck spreading starting now.
M-U-C-K spells muck. And there's too much of it about now, especially on television. I have to tell you, it is quite unusual to be in a programme like this where you're invited to wear your clothes. Normally, people appear naked now on the box. Indeed, I have to explain to my children that once upon a time, in the days when things were in black and white, and there was Andy Pandy, Noddy and Looby Lou on the...
Gary, you come in there with a hesitation.
Yes, it was hesitation.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. You made up your mind quickly. Yeah. and you have got muck spreading. Tell us something about it. The 27 seconds available starting now.
I love going down to Devon during the summer months. Indeed, I find much work down there. But one of the most irritating things about driving to the West Country is that you may find yourself stuck behind one of two things: a white caravan or something spreading muck.
Either you're challenged.
Hesitation.
Hesitation. Myra, you've got 13 seconds. Tell us more about muck spreading, starting now. Oh, the muck dried you up, did it? Giles got in first. Another point to Giles for a correct challenge. And 11 seconds muck spreading, Giles, starting now.
I understand that even Gardener's Question Time now, the people invited to be on it appear starkers. Can you imagine cutting the hibiscus with nothing on? No, this apparently was for Naturist Week. I have never seen such...
I would put him for deviation on that. They don't appear naked.
Yes,
that's not
yes.
the reason they go.
They did. The audience will vouch for it. The only time we ever watched, wasn't it? Yes.
Oh, that's right. You're right. It's when they went to a nudist colony. Mm-hmm. Yes. And they all took their clothes off to appear on the show.
That's right.
Did they?
That's right. Yes, they did. Go!
It's on the radio, Gardener's Question Time.
Well, this is on the radio as well, isn't it?
Were they pruning hollyhocks?
No, the hollyhocks were all right. It's when they started pruning the roses with all those
spores. You can't get a frostgate at them, you know. Because the minute you do...
Well, no, you've got to get frostgate at you if you're starkers, yes. Yeah. You know, pruning the rose trees with your naked, you know, and... well, I don't want to go into it. But it was correct, yes. So Giles will then speak as a whistle and gain the extra point for doing so. He's strengthened his lead at the end of the round, and it is his turn to begin. Pumpernickel, that's a good subject. Giles, go on that if you can in this game, starting now.
I have a sausage dog called Pumpernickel, a sophisticated French poodle by name Fido, spelled P-H-Y-D-A-U-X, and a mongrel who thinks he glories in the nomenclature Down Boy. Well, I have to tell you that Pumpernickel was the rascal who...
Gary's just challenged you.
You're deviating all over the place.
No, I'm telling you about Pumpernickel the dog.
No, no, you went from Pumpernickel to the other animals in your...
It's a menagerie. This is a menagerie story.
I know, but Pumpernickel is the subject, Giles. And you went away from Pumpernickel into the rest of your menagerie that exists at home.
As you will discover in a moment, there is more to be told.
Well, maybe, but maybe it looked like deviation to me, and I mean, I'm on Nicholas's side here.
I'm so pleased because I'm completely on your side, Gary. And so is the audience, by the way. Because I want to hear from you on Pumpernickel, because you've got in with 46 seconds to go, starting now.
I once had a horse called Pumpernickel. I loved nothing better than the wheel.
Yes, quite a chance.
I'm not sure it was. I thought it was a lovely laugh, so maybe I was being mean.
Well, you weren't being mean. You were just playing the game with fun, which is what it's all about. But he didn't actually deviate, because he may have had a horse
called Pumpernickel.
No. He giggled through his laugh, through his dialogue, so he didn't actually hesitate. Gary, keep going, but try not to giggle too much as you do it.
Oh, do I have to? All right, then.
Pumpernickel, still with you. Another point for a correct challenge. 42 seconds starting now.
Come the weekend, I like nothing better than running down to the farm there and jumping on Pumpernickel's back and running down to the shop to buy some Pumpernickel.
Yes.
Sorry to say, but there were two runnings.
You were running too fast.
Was I really?
Yes, you were running an awful lot. So Linda's got in with the correct challenge, and she's got 35 seconds on Pumpernickel starting now.
Pumpernickel is, in fact, a black, flat, very rich-tasting German bread that's full of little seeds and such like, and resembles in appearance a sort of cork tile that was once so popular for bathrooms in the 70s, and actually looked rather awful, in my opinion. But anyway, I wouldn't suggest you use them in your bathroom, because I think they're quite...
John.
A repetition of bathroom, and also very poor taste. Because at our home, we've got Pumpernickel on the floor in the bathroom, and it's actually quite attractive in its own way.
Is that so if all these dogs you've got make a mess, they can't see?
Am I going to get to tell you about Pumpernickel?
You've got 15 seconds, you can do it now, starting now.
Well, I have to tell you that Pumpernickel ate Spot the goldfish, and there weren't many remains. What he regurgitated up, we put in a bit of toast and took into the garden, and there was this memorial service.
Why did you turn it down?
Regurgitation.
Why?
Oh, is that not one of the rules?
Hesitation, repetition, and regurgitation. We can enlarge it for you on future occasions. I loved it. What we do there, I give him a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption, but it wasn't a correct challenge within the rules of just a minute. So, Giles, you get a point for being interrupted. You keep the subject of Pumpernickel. There's 7 seconds available starting now.
Pumpernickel attended the memorial service, tail between his legs, as I recited the funeral ode. It went like this. Oh, wet pet.
Charles Brandon speaking as a whistleblower, gained an extra point again and has increased his lead. He's followed by Ola Bear and Gary Wilmot in equal in second place. Then Linda Smith, and Linda begins the next round. Linda, the subject. Oh, the national debt. You know anything about it? If not, try and talk on it. That's the whole point of just a minute. Starting now.
The national debt is a rum old do, in my opinion, because it's nothing like personal debt. Now, personal debt, if you're slightly overdrawn, a snotty letter ensues immediately. And
Gary, you challenge.
I left it, but it's personal.
That's
it's
well left. Oh, very generous. You leave it and then come in late.
Well, I used to be a rugby referee. You can wait for up to a week before you give the decision.
Don't come back next week and be on the show and say I want to challenge Linda for something this year. No, you challenged within the round. She did repeat personal, so well listened. The national debt's with you. 49 seconds starting now.
If only the great Nicholas Parsons would sell some of his divine jackets, I'm sure the money raised would wipe the national debt just like that. What a glorious dresser this man is.
Hesitation, deviation, I mean, the whole work.
And indeed, regurgitation.
Absolutely.
I was feeling that then.
I think you were waiting for the audience to applaud. So was I as well, actually. But you have a correct challenge of hesitation. So it is the national debt with you, Giles, starting now. Oh, you want another seconds? 37 seconds starting now.
National Velvet was one of my favourite films. National Debt I have not seen. But when I was in the last government, I was a Lord Commissioner of the Treasury, and one of the jobs was to sign the cheques for the country. And what we did was gather at the Treasury and be produced.
Well, listen, Dyler, yes.
You're right.
Two Treasury?
Yes. Yes.
Peter the Treasury.
You're very sharp. Soft, but sharp.
She's talented.
She is talented.
And she plays the game very well. 20 seconds available for you, Isla, on the national debt, starting now.
The national debt is something that I find so depressing, I don't like to think about it very often. The point is, we're all getting older. We're told that all the time. All.
No, speak for yourself. Carry on. You're a child.
So what are you challenging
on? I'm not challenging. I'm just, it's absurd. She's not getting older. She's getting younger by the minute.
Right, so you want her to keep going.
I will. God, I want her to keep going.
She gets a point for being interrupted. So, Isla, you have another point. You've still got the subject. You have 11 seconds. The national debt starting now.
The point is, we're all expected to have our own pensions in future. The national debt is something that we simply can't cover things like this. The health service, education, why aren't we taxed more?
Isla Blair was then speaking with the Whistle Wind, gained an extra point for doing so, and she's moved forward. She's still in second place. Giles Brand is still in the lead, and there's Gary Wilmot and Linda Smith in that order. Gary Wilmot, your turn to begin. Family trees. Good subject. Can you speak on it as long as you wish, within 60 seconds, starting now?
When I bought my very first house, I dug a big hole in the garden and put in a tree. We call that tree our family tree, although it's not exactly the other one.
And Isla, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
I'm afraid there was.
Veritable forest of trees.
I know. 54 seconds for you on family tree, starting now.
There's a small village in Scotland called Kettins, which is where my family come from. And in the graveyard, there's a very big tombstone with an amazing amount of names on it. One of them is Jacobea Blair, someone who was killed in the Jacobite Rebellion.
I don't know if it's a correct challenge.
Jacobean and Jacobite. Isla gets another point for an incorrect challenge. And she continues with 37 seconds on family trees with you, Isla, starting now.
A lot of my family got killed at Culloden. The ones that didn't were moved away in the Highland clearances. Some of them went to Canada. Some of them went to India. My parents.
And you've challenged.
Again, interesting story that a lot of science.
It was a very sad story. I was almost in tears. Well, all your ancestors.
I'm going to wait for the movie. I'll do
it. Blair, the movie. Yes, Blair, the movie. Right. You're no relation, are you? Couldn't be the way you speak.
To Tony?
No. Or
no.
Arnold?
No.
Furthest from possible, I thought, from both of you. Linda, you had a correct challenge, and there are 27 seconds available. Family trees, starting now.
Family trees make very bad pets, I think, because if you've got a family tree, you can't really throw a branch for it. It will be cannibalism and not very attractive. I think a dog or a cat or a goldfish or budgerigar, something of that order, makes a much better companion for a group of people linked by relation.
Isla.
Is this deviation? Are you talking about...
Run away from family trees onto pets. Yes?
Might be.
Yes, it is. Might be. It was, indeed. That's why I interpret that one. So, Isla, another point to you, and 10 seconds of available. Family trees. Oh, can't move us further with the family history. 10 seconds starting now.
It's very easy to find out your family tree. All you have to do is go to Somerset House. You can look up large volumes there, and lo and behold, people your ancestors.
Isla Blair kept going to the Whistle Wind and has got another point for doing so, and others in that round has meant that she has leapt forward, and you are now in the lead, Isla, at the end of that round. Yes, and it's your turn to begin as well. Hurdles. There's a hurdle coming on the show, and you've conquered many of those hurdles in this show, but now speak on the subject of hurdles. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
All of us in life meet hurdles. Hurdles that have to be overcome. In my profession, they're called casting directors. These people prevent you from being seen for a part you are convinced you're perfect for. If you're lucky enough to get an audition, you meet someone, another hurdle. He calls himself a director. This young child sits you down, makes you read because he's never heard of you, and then makes you do truly embarrassing things like pretend to be a yogurt pot, or sing snatches from Andrew Lloyd Webber films, or read, or... Thank you, Linda.
It's just too upsetting, really. It's humiliation.
And I'll never work again.
It's not right. It's absolutely not right.
It's not true.
The legit theatre, it works. It is true. But there we are. But not for everyone. But we've always suffered it at different times. But she did repeat the word read. Well, listen, Linda, you've got hurdles and you have 28 seconds starting now.
Hurdles were a potato-based snack food that never really caught on. They were like little tiny shapes in the form of Douglas Hurd. And they were different flavours, salt and vinegar, smoky bacon, beef, cheese and onion, that sort of thing. And people just didn't seem to like them. It seemed to frighten people as they opened the packet. And
Gary, you've challenged.
Repetition of people.
Yeah, there were too many people there. The little hurdles, yes. Right. 10 seconds for you to tell us something about hurdles, Gary, starting now.
When I was at school, athletics was something that I really enjoyed doing. We had our own field where we had a long jump, a high jump, but the thing I loved more than anything else was, in fact, the hurdle.
Right, Gary Wilmot was speaking to Whistle and gaining extra point for doing so, and he's moved forward. Isla Blair's still in the lead, and Giles Brandreth, your turn to begin. The subject, my wardrobe. Can you tell us something about my wardrobe, starting now?
I began my career as an actor. I was not very good. My first role was as the Moody Dane, for which I still have the costume in my wardrobe. I went on as Hamlet. The audience threw eggs at me. I came off as Omelette. And therefore, I put away the skull, the doublet and hose from those days. And now I keep my wardrobe full of jumpers. Indeed, it isn't just one wardrobe. It's a series of rooms with charcoal on the floor, because the problem with woolen items is that they get, like rather the things I say, full of moths, old and tired and tatty. So I keep in my wardrobe all this beautiful.
And you challenged me, Anna.
I thought there were two fools there, but am I wrong?
Full, yes, the wardrobe was full. There were two keeps as well, but full's good enough for me. And Isla, you take over my wardrobe with 24 seconds to go, starting now.
My wardrobe is very depressing again. I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but I've got too many clothes, most of which come from the 1970s. Large platform shoes. Actually, they're coming back into fashion now. But my wardrobe is literally bulging with things that I can never wear. Alas, I've got too fat for a lot of them, so I have to get things...
Giles, you've challenged.
She's not got too fat for anything. She is perfect. And I'm sitting close. I'm sitting absolutely close. She's perfect. I just wanted to say that, and I'll let her carry on. And I know her husband, too. Oh, it's sad, like her with a much older man.
What do you want to say, Gary?
We're deviating from the show, really, aren't we?
It's enjoyable, isn't it?
It is enjoyable.
Yes, it is, right. But Giles, you interrupted her, so she gets a point for being interrupted. We enjoyed the challenge because everybody agrees with you. And there are 6 seconds available, Isla, on my wardrobe starting now.
However, I started to weed my wardrobe the other day, and out went all sorts of extraordinary things that I haven't seen.
Isla Blair was speaking then when the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. She's increased her lead at the end of the round, followed by Giles Brandreth, Gary Wilmoth, Linda Smith in that order, and Linda, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Girl Friday. Are you one? If not, talk about it. 60 seconds starting now.
Girl Friday. I always used to find that a very confusing advert in the newspapers when people would advertise wanting a Girl Friday. What is this Girl Friday, I would think? Does it mean you just go into the office on a Friday? That sounds like the sort of job for me. One day a week, I think I could manage that all right, and I think that probably will be, in the name of God, will no one interrupt me?
Gary, you interrupted her.
Yeah, thinks. There were loads of things in there.
Well, no, just come on, don't rub it in.
No, there were loads. There were, I count, I don't know how many I count. I counted at least 8.
All right.
No, there was 2, I think.
There were 2. Enough for this game. There are 37 seconds for you to tell us something about Girl Friday starting now.
I think that Girl Friday is, in fact, a person who does go into the office one day a week, that day being Friday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday and Sunday would be days that they wouldn't attend such a...
Giles?
A feast of days, not all of them attached to a Woodward Thursday... See what I mean?
Yes, he did. You did repeat the word days.
Did I?
Thursday, Sunday, that. But you did say they were not days.
Oh, did I?
Yes, you did. Yeah.
Oh.
It's a difficult game, isn't it?
No, it's a doddle.
Giles, you've had a correct challenge. You have another point. Of course, 27 seconds still available on Girl Friday starting now.
You will not have heard of King's Cross Bear because he got off at the wrong station. The same goes for Man Wednesday. Whereas Girl Friday is my kind of person. In my dreams, of course, Isla Blair would be a perfect person for this role because she combines intelligence with great beauty and a kind of intellectual brilliance that is quite extraordinary.
You challenge Isla.
I had to stop you. This is so embarrassing.
He does that on this show. He does it, yes.
But do you like it? Or not much?
I'm not saying a word.
We'll talk about it later.
I have 5 seconds. No, I'll give it to Isla Blair, because she's embarrassed. Isla, you've got 5 seconds on Girl Friday, starting now.
There's another term for Girl Fridays. They're called gophers. They hang around film studios, they get...
Isla Blair, again, was speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so. She's increased her lead, ahead of Giles Brandreth, and the other two follow. And Gary Wilmot, your turn to begin. Eureka! Tell us something about that subject in just a minute, if you can, starting now.
Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer have a girl on their show called Eureka Johnson. What a beautiful woman she is. However, her name, of course, isn't Eureka, it is Ulrika. Eureka is very often shouted when somebody has achieved something, i.e. if they're in the hurdles and they cross the finishing line quicker than anybody else, they say Eureka. But really, the word Eureka is associated with somebody who has invented something and has
you've got interest.
He was just, I think, coming up with something.
It didn't come up, unfortunately. It stayed down. And there was a pause, so you've got another point. You've got 36 seconds. Eureka, starting now.
Eureka is Greek for this bathwater is far too hot. First shouted by
Gary.
Well, that's simply not true, is it?
Of course it's not true, but it's a lovely line.
Is it not true?
No, it's not true. No, it was...
your Greek's better than mine.
It was Archimedes who suddenly said, I've got it, that's what Eureka means. He suddenly saw the answer and he leapt out of his bath. He was in his bath, but it wasn't too hot. It's a lovely line, we enjoyed it, but it's incorrect, so it was deviation. So, Gary, you have 30 seconds on Eureka, starting now.
As I pressed that buzzer just now, I felt like saying, Eureka, I have done it. I've stopped Giles Brandreth in mid-flow from speaking for 1 minute without hesitation, repetition, or indeed...
deviation.
You got all three then, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. So Giles got in first. So well done, Gary, but bad luck. So 18 seconds, Eureka, back with you, Giles, starting now.
Eureka is indeed a beautiful word in an ancient language. Not, of course, Latin. I know that in loco parentis means my dad's an engine driver. But what Eureka truly means, it has been mistranslated on this program already by our chairman, who thinks he knows it all, but Eureka is something he's not familiar with, though indeed he went to a university and trained as an engineer.
So Giles Brandreth was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and not only brought that round to a close, he's brought the show to a close.
Oh. Well,
sorry, he didn't brought the show to a close.
Yes, I know the feeling, that's all right.
Eureka, he's done it! So he got a point, of course, for speaking as the whistle went, and the situation is, for those interested in the points, Linda came fourth, then Gary Wilmot, then Giles Brandreth, but just out in the lead, 2 points ahead of all the rest was Isla Blair. She's our winner this day. This time around is Isla Blair. So it only remains we say thank you to our four exciting and talented players of the game, Linda Smith, Gary Wilmot, Isla Blair, Giles Brandreth, from them, from me. Hope you've enjoyed Just a Minute. Be with us the next time you play this delightful game. Till then, goodbye.